from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
All right, here we go. Back to it. Another night, another Red Sox review. I was here Monday. I was here Tuesday. I'm here Wednesday. I look down. The calls are already here. We're all lined up. We're ready to go. We will air our grievances. On Wednesday, September the 4th, the Red Sox lose 8-3. They've lost 11 of their last 14. They are 500 exactly. And those playoff hopes, and they are exactly that, hopes and dreams. And cross your fingers and pick your four-leaf clover and do all of these things. It's that's what they are. It is not wins right now, obviously. For this team, they will wake up on Friday morning, 5.5 games back of the Kansas City Royals and Minnesota Twins, 5 in the loss. And it will take something miraculous, something, you know, Cardinals, Oakland A's, Tampa Bay Rays-like of the last 15 years for them to get into the postseason. And certainly there are not any signs that point to that as of right now. This is Red Sox Review. We are live with you. Cooper Boardman, 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Text line at 37937. We have the great Nico Manganiello inside the glass right over there. But I'm not going to wait around. Let's get to you. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. I'm interested how you slice this up. And we will begin in the great state of New Hampshire. Matt in Manchester, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
How's it going? So I got a little hypothetical and then another point I want to get to.
Sure, please.
Now, say Alex Cora doesn't get the 3-year extension. Do you think that tonight would have been his last game? Like, I know it's on the players too, but every point he's trying to do, it backfires. And the whole pulling Criswell, and I can't remember what game it was, but it was on the Nesson broadcast, and they said that they were giving Rafael the day off completely with no baseball in, like, we're in the middle of a playoff chase, and you're just going to sit your starter and say no baseball for you. Like, I get it. It's to an extent. If it's May or June, absolutely. But, like, these are all must-win games, and he's just, like, throwing them away. Other point, I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't know the exact number, but what is the Red Sox record since Tristan Casas came back? I don't think he's great for the clubhouse. I know they cut to last night when Devers was up first and second, no outs. They were down a run still. And it was a 2-2 count. They cut to the dugout. I don't know if you saw this, but they cut to the dugout. And Casas had his back turned to the field. He was looking at his rings or something like that. The fact that people think that they wouldn't trade Tristan Casas for Vladimir Guerrero, they are out of their mind. I would take Vlad for just 1 year and not even have the extension for Tristan Casas.
Well, you lose me there at Vlad for 1 year for Tristan Casas. That just doesn't make any sense, Matt.
I don't see what's so I think Cassis is the most selfish guy there is. He cares more about the strike zone than anything else. He doesn't. He shows no emotion. When was the last time?
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I mean, this is a guy that when he walks is screaming. I think he's kind of the opposite of a guy who shows emotion.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just don't see it. I would take Vladimir Guerrero in a second.
Yeah, and Matt, thank you for the call, and I understand it. Look, I'm going to sit here and I'll defend Tristan Casas until the cows come home. That's my opinion. You're entitled to yours. I get it. I think what you're seeing over the last couple of weeks, and you say, you know, what's the Red Sox record since Tristan Casas came back? You know, it's not good, but it's I can't sit here and say that he's the reason why they haven't been good. I mean, he's come off the IL. We know what happens when guys come off the IL. It takes time to find their footing. You know, Matt, we're talking about a guy who's played in 200 major league games. His OPS is 832. He's hit 37 home runs in those 201 games. He's a really good player, and he's a guy that would have been in the American League Rookie of the Year was in the American League Rookie of the Year conversation last year. When healthy, he's one of the best offensive first basemen in baseball, and you would never trade a guy like that for Vladimir Guerrero for 1 year of control. You can dislike him, you can dislike the demeanor and the attitude and say that he's not good for the clubhouse or whatever. You're not in the room. He is well-liked, he is a good player, and, you know, and again, look, there's a long laundry list of reasons why the Red Sox are in the position that they are. Tristan Casas is not one of them right now, and that's the reality. But I understand, you know, again, you're entitled to your opinion there. You know, on the Alex Cora side of things, he put in his closer in the eighth inning tonight because he felt like it gave them the best chance to win. And you know what? Were you really sitting there truly in on your couch? And I'm sure we'll get some calls and we'll find out if everybody else did too. But like, were you really truly sitting there saying, like, if you're honest with yourself, oh, don't put in Kenley here. I'll tell you what, hand up. If I'm the idiot, I wasn't sitting here saying that. I was saying, you know what? This is the most important game of the year. And he's putting his best guy out of the bullpen in an inning early. And maybe we're going to see two innings out of him. And, you know, he can't go out there and arm bar Kenley in a not walking four guys. That's the reality there. But, you know, when everything goes wrong, you can blame the manager. I get it. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Paul in Westfield, you're up next. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Thank you, Cooper, not Boardman. Not Cora's fault. You know, Matt brings up an interesting question. I would remind him that Cora this year set a record with pinch hitters most and the most home runs. He clearly, usually, and for most of the season, has been able to take a medium to maybe sometimes a little above average median team and get him into a position where they probably wouldn't have gotten nearly as many wins because he has that in-game manager connection. I call him the Einstein of arithmetic, and I don't think suddenly he can't add. But this does suck. Add up this reality, Cooper. You mentioned this the other day. Suddenly, the Mets pitchers are all like Cy Young. I mean, the strikeout rate and the Fitzgerald last night when our ace pitcher was doing good, he only gave up three hits and two home runs. And then, of course, tonight you've got the oddball where innings 4, 5, and 6, we got men on base, and we hit into double plays. You know, we're like the Titanic through Bermuda Cruise Triangle this last 14 games, and we've only won 3.
Yeah,
that's just a bad sequence. I don't think that's Cora. And poor Devers is hurt. You know, that's obvious. Our best hitter. Hey, would you say that even a little hurt, he still can make contact and is a better choice than any other option on the bench? Because that's the only one question I have is I hate seeing Devers go through this.
Yeah, no doubt. And Paul, thank you for the call. It's funny. It's like these last few days I've kind of been defending the idea of putting him in there, and they believe that he's healthy enough to make some kind of impact. But he's either going through it big, you know, in a slump way, or he's too hurt to play, and we're really getting up at that point. I mean, you know, and they're going to shut him down. I mean, you know, the truth is in about 5 days, if the Red Sox are still 6 games out, 7 games out, he won't play the rest of the year, and we won't even have to have the conversation. One thing on the strikeouts, you know, people want to blame strikeouts for what the Red Sox are doing offensively. Their strikeout rate right now is the same strikeout rate they had in June and July and August. You know, they're 27% over the last 14, 15 days, 25, 26% for the year, third highest in baseball. That's not the difference. The difference is they're not cashing those strikeouts in, per se, for extra base hits. The slug was 433. They're a top five slugging team in baseball over the course of the season, and they are the second worst slugging team in baseball over the last 2 weeks behind the Chicago White Sox, who are not really fielding a baseball team right now. That's the difference. Jarren Duran had a double tonight. No one else sniffed an opportunity to get an extra base hit. That's what's different. That's one of many things that's different, but that's what's different. All right, AJ in Dover. Always good to hear from AJ. Welcome to Red Sox Review, AJ. No, oh, we lost you. Let's try again. AJ, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh. Can we lose him and have him come back? Because he's in and out. AJ, hang up. AJ, we're going to hang up on you. Call right back. We'll get you right back on. It just sounds like you're, you know, like underwater a little bit. All right, let's keep it going. We got so many here. 617-779-7937. Back to AJ in a second. Let's go to Framingham. Alan, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Thank you. I want to start off by saying, because it's documented, and I've been saying it, when they traded Mookie Betts, it set the organization back 10 years, and I'll stick to it, and I'll always stick to it. A disgrace. And, you know, I'm glad they're playing the White Sox, because the two of them are the both laughing stocks of baseball. And the Red Sox are right up there. I mean, I was listening. It's an absolute positive joke. I'm sick of hearing about Devers is hurt. If he's hurt, sit down. If he isn't, sore shoulder, let him play. If he can't play, don't let him play. And I'm not going to blame everything on Cora. I mean, I do remember Griswold pitched pretty well the other day, you know. But, it's terrible. What the problem is this team was overachieving all year, and now they're coming back to what the level really is, that they stink. And you know something? If it wasn't for Toronto and Tampa Bay having horrendous years, they would have been in the same place where they were the last 2 years, in last place. I mean, there is nothing positive about this. Okay, Duran. Other than that, as I said before, it's a bunch of utility players, and it's just disgrace. It's time for John Henry to get the heck out of Boston, sell the team, let him go to Pittsburgh, let him go to golf, let him go to soccer, but get out of the town, because this is supposed to be the Boston Red Sox, and it's just a disgraceful, rotten, horrible team.
All right, Alan, thank you. Appreciate the call. He played the hits there, did Alan. You know, again, it's a frustrating week. It's frustrating last few days. You're allowed to feel the way that you feel. The Rays have not had a horrible year. They're 69-70. They were in the wild card race for a lot of the year. The Blue Jays have had a rotten, disgraceful year, to use your terminology. I think there are a lot more positives than you're giving the Red Sox credit for. You know, Duran has been wonderful. Devers has had an awful couple of weeks. He's got a 900-something OPS. Like, he's going to finish with one of the best years of his career. And I hope that we're not just talking about these 2 weeks, and I understand that you're judged on this, but he's had a great year. You have a young core in Willier Abreu and Tristan Casas and hopefully Connor Wong and Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford to legitimately build around. And people are sick of building. I'm sick of building. I'd like to see it built. But to say that it's all rotten and disgraceful, this team's horrible and we should burn it down and stuff everyone in a locker and then lock it up. I can't go there. I'm not going to do it. I'm more resigned than angry, honestly.
Well, getting into the having it be built part, that is where I think that Alan kind of hits on the management and ownership part. Had they invested in this offseason and went after starting pitching, like, we could be talking about a completely different situation. Because like you said, some of these players have shown some positive signs that we weren't expecting, especially Jarren Duran. I think that's one that, I mean, I know I thought Jarren Duran wasn't going to amount to anything. And this guy's top five in MVP voting here. So he's had quite the turnaround. And I think there's a few guys, like you said, you can put in that category this year that have kind of surprised us. And had they invested in this team and believed in this team at the beginning, we're talking about, you're probably in the wild card right now instead of you know, in this chase and having this skid right now.
Yeah, and I think it's a fair criticism, right? Like, I can't disagree. And it's also like, you look at think about the offseason the Royals had. We got to hit a break here real quick. So the team that is ahead of you, essentially, are the Kansas City Royals. And, you know, so they signed Bobby Witt to their extension, right? They signed their Raffy Devers. They had to go get, you know, starting pitching. They had to go get, they had Cole Reagans, but they had to go get, like, kind of the rest of their starting pitching. They went and got Will Smith out of their bullpen. They got Seth Lugo, you know, for their starting rotation. They re-signed Vinny Pasquantino. They got Michael Wacha. They got Hunter Renfroe. You know, they spent $100 million in the span of 5 days, which is not that much money. It's a lot of money to you and me. It's a lot of money to people listening, but it's not, you know, in the scheme of things. And they were in a position where they had a little bit more room relative to the CBT, but you know they did it and look at where they are. And they were a little bit more aggressive at the trade deadline. That's the reality there. All right, I got to hit a quick break. AJ, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. We'll get to the rest of everybody else, John, Glenn, everybody else. When we come back again, 617-779-7937. We're back in a moment. It's Red Sox Review Live on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Red Sox Review on WEEI.
No, I mean, we had traffic and we didn't cash in, so just another tough one.
Hulk had a tough first inning, but then he settled down. What was going on that first inning, and then why did he settle down after that?
Home run was actually a really good pitch. It was a split off the plate down. Winker just extended down there and hit it out of the ballpark. But he was off command-wise the first few hitters. But then after that, the stuff got better. He was able to throw a split on the barrels, threw the slider for strikes. The sinker was really good and gave us 5 innings.
Alex, time is running out. How do you feel about this team right now as you...
We're a 500 team.
Huh?
We're playing 500 baseball. I don't think that's good enough. You know, we got to be better. We're playing 500 right now.
You know, I can say it, but you can be a human being and listen to the tone in Alex Cora's voice right there. Post-game tonight after the loss to the Mets, after being swept in New York, after being 500 going into Friday. And it tells you everything you need to know. Absolutely everything. So do the calls tonight. 617-779-7937. Cooper Boardman with you. This is Red Sox Review. We are live with you. You heard Alex there. He comes to you from the Nissan post-game show. You deserve a car that thrills you. Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself and shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. Back to you. All right, we had AJ in Dover. The line wasn't great, so let's try this again. AJ, welcome back. You're on the air to Red Sox Review.
Hey, what's up, Coop?
Oh, we got you. Loud and clear. You're up.
Awesome. So you actually stole my take because when you said you were resigned, that's exactly my comment. I'm like going to say that this was an inevitability. At the end of the day, you had people performing over their heads. You know, you had something that I didn't look at and see it as being sustainable unless you supplemented it. And I'm really not, you know, optimistic about the future with under the new management, because at the end of the day, it all goes back to the ownership for me. Not willing to spend. They're putting too much pressure on all these young guys. And I think it's a hypocrisy, because when they expanded rosters, they went ahead and said that they didn't want to bring Campbell up because they didn't want to rush his development. But he's tearing through the minor leagues. And if you need a jolt, that's the guy to bring up, not a 222 hitter in Valdez. I just think that it all goes back to the offseason. The trade deadline, I can't believe that people even gave the grade to B- to C-, because that was it was a sham. It was a fake deadline by a bunch of guys that you weren't going to bring back. There were rentals. You didn't give anything of value to get anything value back, and you get what you pay for. I would have loved to see Campbell come up with the roster expansion. I would have liked to see maybe Fitch come up, who is probably, I think, the most major league ready player that they have from their pitching side, and give some of these arms a break. Maybe go to a 6-man rotation for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. No, and AJ, and very good measure points. Yeah. And thank you for the call. You know, the Campbell thing, I understand he's tearing through the minor leagues, and I've seen him, you know, face to face AAA. I've, you know, talked to him and gotten to know him just a small bit, and obviously watched him play. He's a phenomenal prospect. He's going to be a phenomenal player. I think you hurt development when you rush guys, and I know that becomes a company line over time. If you look at what, like, the Angels have done with some of these guys that are first rounders or fast risers, and the aggression with which they've promoted them, there's a reason why the Angels have been, you know, what they've been over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I you know, Christian Campbell might be able to keep his head above water at the big league level. There's only one way to find out. But, you know, Emmanuel Valdez, I know what you said, the batting average is. How about the slug? How about what he did in June? You know, how about the swing adjustments that he's made at the AAA level? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's the savior, that he's going to fix the season. That'd be a lie. But I also don't think Christian Campbell is either. I think what's exciting, you know, to us in this conversation is we don't know what Christian Campbell is. And so you can have this dream that he's going to come here and put the team on his back and change the vibe and change the culture. But I don't. That's a hope. That's a pipe dream. That's not an actual way to manage a baseball team to me. The other thing, too, and you talked about the trade deadline and, you know, these kind of around the edges moves, right? Go get Luis Garcia and Lucas Sims, and you get James Paxton. And look, man, AJ, like, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that those were good moves in the end, because obviously we know what the results are. It's been horrific. It's been one of the reasons why this team has lost as much as it has. I think there's no question about that. There was ultimately the reinforcement for the bullpen that was supposed to come did not come in form of those two guys. But, like, to me, it's less about the moves themselves and more about what happens on the back end. And wherever you want to place the blame on that, front office or otherwise, is a whole other conversation. But, like, you look at the Mets, they went and got Ryan Stanek, you know, for a minor league outfielder that I didn't think was going to be a big leaguer. They went and got Tyler Zuber. They gave up a 12th round pick. They got Jesse Winker for a middling pitching prospect. They got Phil Maton for, you know, basically cash from the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, they didn't go get Josh Hader at the deadline. They went and got, honestly, let's be real about it, in terms of name value, and you might know who Phil Maton is because he has a brother and because of the success he had with the Astros, but they got name value and season value the same as Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia. Really, the difference is the Mets got the best out of the guys that they got. They turned Phil Maton into something even better, lowered his ERA. And being a reliever is a fickle thing, but the Red Sox inability to develop a homegrown reliever beyond the struggles of Chris Martin and Kenley Jansen in the second half of this season are now, for the third or fourth straight year, putting them behind the eight ball. It's not the only reason why they've had this second half, but it's a big reason why. That coupled with the defense, I mean, all of this, it's just, You know, it's a whole host of things. 617-779-7937. Glenn in New Orleans, you are on the air. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Hello, Cooper. Hey, I know early in the season we go back and forth a little bit on the starting pitching and being pulled too early, and you talk about it being a different game today. I heard a nice stat today. Would you care to guess which team starting pitcher, the whole team, has the most 7 innings plus starts?
Yeah, I will say that there's a good chance the team on the other side of the New York Mets is the answer to that. That would probably be my guess. Maybe the Mariners are up there. Maybe the Phillies are up there. Those are my guesses.
It is the Phillies.
Yeah.
And they have a wide lead. Care to guess how many times that's happened? 7 innings plus.
Oh, God. So we're at one. Now you got to make me do math live on the air. We're in a dangerous spot, Glenn. So the Phillies, you know, we're sitting here 140 games into the year. Oh, man. I'm going to guess maybe 55 times, give or take.
Okay, they lead the majors with 33.
Wow. I'm way over, huh?
Yeah, and what do you think their win total is, their one loss in those 33 games?
Well, if they're going 7-plus, that's a huge winning percentage. You're talking 800-plus. They probably have 25-plus wins.
32-1.
Yeah. No doubt about it, right? If you get to 7, I'm sure that winning percentage is the same for everybody. But I understand what you're saying.
The Red Sox have 13, and they are 12-1, which is the second best winning percentage in that statistic.
Yeah,
but they only have 13 as opposed to 33, and the other teams are 17-2, things like that. So. I mean, it comes down to starting pitching, and if you can get your starters to pitch 7 innings, you're going to win, or close to 7 innings. As far as Kansas City goes, they did draft Brady Singer out of Florida, and he's got an ERA of about 3.35, and mm-hmm. he's a very good pitcher, so... That's the Red Sox' biggest problem, is they just don't have quality starters. I know some of y'all may think there's Hauk might be a one or a two, but until he has a second year and maybe has an ERA right around 3, I'm not sold on him yet.
He has more than one year. Yeah, and I think we all say he's got the makings. Here's the thing, Glenn. You know what the Philadelphia Phillies... So the Philadelphia Phillies rotation is what? Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez, and Taijuan Walker. Philadelphia right. Phillies are paying Aaron Nola $172 million. They're paying Zach Wheeler $126 million. They're paying Sanchez $23 million. It's six a year. They went out and they paid Ranger Suarez a lot of money. I think it's like 3 for a year, which is above market value, and they gave Taijuan Walker 4 for $72. You get, you know, I mean, think about I'm not going to do math live on the air again. Think about the amount of money that they have committed to that starting rotation. You want to build a rotation that goes 7 day in, day out. You do it one of two ways. You develop them from the very moment you draft them. There are only two teams in baseball that have truly done that of late, which are the Seattle Mariners and the team that you mentioned, Glenn, and the Kansas City Royals. Or you shell out millions and millions of dollars, Glenn. And I'm not leading you somewhere, but, you know, think about that versus what the Red Sox rotation is, right?
Well, and that's the problem that I'm talking about is they don't draft pitchers at the top of the draft. It's outfielders and shortstops. The Dodgers draft three out of four pitchers. I don't know. You can't sign everybody out of the Dominican and hope that they turn out to be, an above-average pitcher. Bayo, his ERA is, just under 5. So, I mean, I think the guy has potential. But, as of right now, like I said, they're all really a bunch of number 5s at this point.
Yeah, and I think, too, and Glenn, thank you for the call. We're up against it to get out of here. So, I will say this. You say they don't draft pitchers, right? I mean, they haven't under Craig or under Chaim Bloom. Craig Breslow went out. His second rounder was a pitcher. His third rounder was a pitcher. His fifth round was a pitcher. His sixth round was a pitcher. 2A in the 8th round, on and on and on. 10th and 11th, I think, too, were pitchers. So, that's an organizational deal there. They've made that decision. But the cold hard truth is, if the Red Sox are going to have good starting pitching in the next year or two with legitimate depth, it's going to come the way that the Phillies built it, the way that Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler came, which was a combined 172 plus 126. Oh, God, $298 million. That's it. It's easy to go 7 innings when your rotation costs $500 million. But there are 27 other teams piecing it together in a different way. That's one other thing, and we can do this forever, and I invite you, please, call back on Friday. Let's have a longer conversation after the game. Most teams are not doing that. You're right. Going 7 innings is great, but there are other ways to do it. And the Red Sox aren't doing it in any way. I guess that's my point. Glenn, thank you. Always fun. All right, that's it for us tonight. Big thanks to Nico Manganiello inside the glass, helping me keep time very poorly. I'm Cooper Boardman. Good night. We'll talk to you Friday. It's been Red Sox Review on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.